Absolutely. Good to be here. And I have to say that you pronounced my name perfectly, which doesn't often happen. So I was like, oh, that's my name. Perfect. All right. Well, I will do a screen share. Get that set up. Oh, and I have to go all the way to the top. Sorry about that. All right. So I'm going to be talking today about high sensitivity in the workplace, just because that's we're kind of at work, but it's pertinent for any place. So I'll start with just kind of telling my story so that it all makes sense. And I grew up outside of Portland, and pretty much for my whole childhood, I got used to the idea that I was apparently just too sensitive and didn't know how to let things go, and everything was too important or too bothersome for me. Thankfully, I had a really supportive family and childhood at home. It was more of a challenge in school and with friends and that kind of thing. But at home, I was kind of seen, I think, as just kind of quirky. My sensitivities were noticed at times and just kind of mentioned as, oh, that's Tammy. She's got that. No, she's just so sensitive. But with other people, sometimes it was, too sensitive. And I just learned to kind of, keep that at bay and choose who I would talk with and who I wouldn't and what I would share and that kind of thing. But that was kind of my whole upbringing, was just feeling like, I didn't quite fit in. Nobody really understood me. I was just kind of this quirky person, something that I at some point was gonna have to figure out how to fix, I guess. And then I was always really interested in working with other people and understanding the way things work. So I found myself in college in psychology programs, and I ended up getting a master's in counseling and going that direction. There was nothing in my program to say anything about sensitivity, so I wasn't aware of that, as a trait at that time. And then I got burned out eventually because the clientele that I was working with was just a little too much for me to handle. And so I went away from that for a while, and then really missed a lot of it and came back in the realm of coaching. But during that time, I became aware of high sensitivity as a trait. It's actually called sensory processing sensitivity. So once I became aware of that and that, wow, okay, that's me. And it's not just me, because there's all these other people. There's inventories online, and it's 20% of the population. And wow, okay. So it really changed, my whole perspective, my whole life. And then I learned more about it. And then I've since then just really enjoyed helping others who are highly sensitive to understand themselves better and learn all about it. And then also to help other people who maybe aren't understand us better. So that's my story and how I got into the focus of high sensitivity. So I will give kind of an overview and help everybody to understand it a little bit, in case one of the things I run into is I hear people saying, oh, high sensitivity. Yeah, I know all about that. And then when you talk about it a little bit more, they said, oh, I just thought some people were just a little more sensitive. I didn't realize it was this whole trait. So I really enjoy, just getting the word out. So it is called sensory processing sensitivity. It's all about how we process things. And of course, that's a mouthful. So high sensitivity, highly sensitive people. HSP is what we generally describe it as. So starting off with what it's not is, a disease, diagnosis, something that's not supposed to be there, something that's, in a manual somewhere that says, if this person has this, then you need to do all of these treatments. It's just a trait. It's not a choice. It's not like we just decide at one point, oh, I like being extra sensitive, and I'm just going to choose to be that way. It doesn't need to be fixed. It's not the same thing as being shy. It's not the same thing as being introverted. We're not antisocial. And especially for men, this pops up, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but it doesn't mean that you're weak or a sissy. It doesn't mean that you're overly feminine, and it's not just women. And it's just not a lot of what people consider sensitivity to be. So what it is a genetic trait. It's inherent. It's like being left-handed or right-handed. So you are highly sensitive or you're not. They've actually done research, and they've identified the location in the brain where processing happens, and it processes at a deeper level. It's biological. It's about 15 to 20% of the population, although the most recent research that's coming out is showing that that might be a little bit higher, whether that's always been that way or just recently there's, you know, more of that surfacing, but it is more common than most people think. And a lot of times people who are highly sensitive, you know, just like I was until about 11, 12 years ago, they don't know it. So it seems even more rare than it actually is, but you know, 20% of the population, it's not the majority, but it's certainly more than you might expect. It is equal among men and women. That's kind of surprising to people too. But again, in our society, it's not really accepted for men to be sensitive. So they've tended to learn, you know, at an early age, how to keep that under wraps and not really embrace that necessarily. And it is about 30% of HSPs, highly sensitives, are actually extroverts. So it's not all about introversion or shyness. And then there's actually a term called high sensation seeking HSPs, which is another subcategory. So folks that are out there bungee jumping and doing all of these things that, just kind of put them on edge a little bit anyway. And then suddenly, you know, they're overwhelmed. So it can be introvert, extrovert. It's all about processing things deeply. So everything that happens, we bring in at a deep level. So I'll explain that a little bit more in detail. Oh, I put it off so I could, there we go. So this is a little acronym, does kind of helps to let us describe the trait itself. So depth of processing with D's that, again, everything is just super important. I kind of talk about it like we're like a sponge, you know, we bring everything in and we're interested in it all, or we're wanting to know about it or have, you know, removed the mystery of everything. We tend to like to learn a lot of things and research and read and that kind of stuff, because it's just kind of all fascinating. It has a big impact on us because we really do process it deeply. And then that leads to a possibility of overstimulation or overwhelm. So it's easy to have all of this stuff going on. It's sort of like having different or less than the average of filtering system. So instead of paying attention to one thing at a time and just being focused there, it's all of that happening all at once and hard to differentiate or to choose which one you're going to put your attention on and just let the other things go, which is where you hear a lot of just ignore it. And it's a little challenging for us. And then emotionality, just really experiencing those emotions really deeply. So maybe you know someone who just seems like super emotional all the time, or their feelings just are so big, sometimes they just can't handle them. And that can be part of the sensitivity experience. And then there's the sensing the subtle, which paying attention to everything, noticing all the little details. It can be, you know, energy oriented. It can be visual things in the environment. You know, you notice like a little tiny ladybug on a leaf as you're going by and nobody else noticed that. So it can be really rewarding. It can be really challenging. It just kind of depends on the situation. And then, you know, how you're prepared to deal with all of those sensitivities, all those little details that, you know, could get in the way, but they could make life just amazingly rich. So we'll go next to, as I mentioned, like when I was young, I always felt that I was, you know, outside of everything, like no one understood me. I was this oddity, and that didn't actually change in my adulthood. I found myself wondering why I wasn't wanting to do the things that a lot of other people were doing, you know, whether it's going out and partying on the weekends or being in these big group extravaganzas, what it seemed like. It was just like so much going on and I just didn't want to do that, but I felt like I should because everybody else was wanting to do it. So I was just always felt that estrangement kind of, you know, so it's being misunderstood and feeling like we're the outliers. So, but all of the sensitivities and all of the stuff that does that I mentioned can really create some challenges, of course. So we can often feel alone, misunderstood. We often get the idea that there's something wrong with us that needs to be fixed, that we're weird, we're crazy, we're, you know, there's just it's just not okay that we're so different. I mean, there's unique, which is great, but if it's to the point where no one gets you, then it seems like, okay, there must be something going on, something wrong. And then we end up hearing things like we're unreasonable, we're ridiculous. You know, there's sensitive, then there's really sensitive, and then there's too sensitive. So we often hear that, you know, you're too sensitive, like you need to change that. You shouldn't be so sensitive. And for us that are feeling that way, it's like, that's not a choice. I'm not trying to be so sensitive. I don't know what to do with that, because that's just the way I experience everything. So sometimes we seem kind of demanding or again, unreasonable. You know, why can't you just let all that go? Why are you paying so much attention to that? You know, that was yesterday. Don't worry about it. So that can be very challenging, especially in relationships, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But and then we tend to get, again, overwhelmed easily. And a lot of times highly sensitives end up spending a lot of time at home or, you know, just alone, opting out of activities because they just get so overwhelming. And then people end up, you know, thinking, well, they must be, you know, antisocial, or they take it personally and say, you know, how come you don't want to hang out? And, you know, what did I do? Or what's going on? And it's hard to explain if they're not aware, you know, that it just gets so overwhelming. It's just easier and calmer to just to be at home. And it's hard to let go of things sometimes that are, you know, they're super intense for us. They're super meaningful. And then to someone else, they're like, it's not a big deal. Why are we still talking about that? But for us, it's still a big deal. And then this is an interesting one. It can take a long time to make a decision or an answer. I have a you know, friend, client, person that was in one of my groups one time that I see on my meetup group every so often. And he likes to talk about how he always has these examples of explaining something to a friend, you know, talking about something, and then they'll ask, well, you know, what do you think about this? And he's like, well, I need to think about that for a minute, for a little bit, and I'll get back to you. And then maybe like 3 days later, he'll contact the person and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about that. And the person, of course, is going, what are you talking about? And said, well, you know, that thing we were talking about. And he's like, that was 3 days ago. And he's like, I know, but I was processing it all this time, and this is my answer. So sometimes it seems a little odd to people, and we kind of have that feeling like we should have an answer right away, but sometimes we're just not ready for that. So anyway, so nervous system stuff is really important. So for highly sensitive, we tend to have basically, I think it's like our baseline of our nervous system is just, you know, up a few levels. That we're just amped up all the time. So when things happen, we get overwhelmed that much more easily because we're just a little bit more on edge and not in that calm place. So our, you know, there's the fight or flight, rest and digest, the different types of the nervous system. And we tend to be more engaged in that fight or flight or the sympathetic nervous system. And so it's harder to handle things in general, just everyday stuff. And then especially if it becomes, you know, a lot of noise or a lot of activity or heightened emotions, that just gets a lot more difficult if our nervous system is really amped up to start with. So it's really important to work on calming that, because again, that creates that lower threshold for anxiety. Or I mean, everyone is experiencing stress now since the pandemic, and it's kind of on everyone's minds, and everyone's aware of that more. But for highly sensitive, it tends to be amped up, you know, that much more. We can become, you know, distracted more easily. And if we're not paying attention to our nervous system, what happens is that we can just reach this point of complete overwhelm. And some people shut down and just go within and don't, you know, have contact with folks and just kind of rejuvenate. Sometimes people have to sleep a whole bunch of, you know, several extra hours because they're just exhausted. It can just really deplete the whole system. So again, that self-care is, you know, such a huge piece of that. So in terms of relationships, it can definitely be challenging. It can be rewarding, but definitely challenging if there's not any awareness. And it could be, you know, friendships, school setting. That's what I always had the most, you know, challenge with when I was growing up, and just other friends or social groups or stuff, or people just not, you know, quite understanding things. That was big for me. And some people being in a family situation, that's really challenging. I work with parents who either they are not highly sensitive and they have a highly sensitive child, and so they need to learn how to communicate and let them thrive. Or more often I have highly sensitive parents who have a highly sensitive child and they kind of understand that better, but they learn those techniques. And then there's the extra challenging, I think is a highly sensitive parent with a non-highly sensitive child who is just, you know, super energetic and super, you know, so not highly sensitive. And it tends to be very challenging for parents to be able to cope with that because of their own sensitivities. So that's kind of a learning curve that way. But certainly, you know, relationships in the workplace and then romantic partners. I mean, any kind of relationship that you have, if there's not an understanding of that, that sensitivity level and all of the things that I've talked about so far, then it can be very challenging for trying to get, you know, get your word across, your point across and feeling heard and validated. The way I got became aware of this as a trait actually was when I was having a rough time with a couple friends. This event that had happened, you know, we just weren't seeing eye to eye and I felt very hurt and I didn't feel like I was being respected. And a friend that was helping me said, "Hey, you should check this out online." And it was like 16 traits of highly sensitive people. And I checked all of them off pretty much, I think 14 out of 16. And that was my like aha moment, right? It's like, oh, this isn't just me. Wow, this is amazing. And then I learned, you know, after research and reading and all of those things, learning more about myself and relationships, how to share my sensitivities with somebody else and then equal out those relationships so that they're more harmonious. And that was always really lovely because the ideas that we have, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and we have different ideas about walk in somebody else's shoes, that kind of stuff. I mean, we can only understand each other to a point because we're not those people. So in a high sensitivity versus non-highly sensitive relationship, we're never really going to quite get that for the other person. But if we can share and say, hey, this is what it's like for me. It's just a trait. It's not my choice. I'm not trying to be difficult, but this is how I process things. And then they can understand that better. And then same thing is it's, you know, helping highly sensitive to recognize that the other person's not just trying to be disrespectful or rude or anything like that. I apologize for the dog. But understanding that that's just where they're coming from too. And they can't quite get it that, you know, because they're not experiencing in that same way too. Thirsty dog, sorry. So the nice thing is that it's not all about challenges. There are lots and lots of benefits. And to be honest, I would not give up my option of being, or my option, my trait of being highly sensitive because there are so many wonderful things about it. As long as we know how to handle calm our nervous system and know how to share with other people and know how to perceive everything and value ourselves. So the benefits are, I mean, there's a ton, but we are basically kind of the canaries in the coal mine. We're the ones that tend to walk into a room and we kind of know something's off or somebody needs something or something's not, you know, not quite right. Or we know that someone is having a rough time and what would probably help them feel better. Or we just, you know, just have this sense of what's going on because we observe it and we actually feel this energy. And actually my favorite story about high sensitivity was from when I was about 15, my grandmothers were over with my mom. We must've had a family get together or something, but my sister was gone. It was just me and my mom and my grandmas. And at one point I just left and went into my room. And the second I walk into my room, I realize, okay, something's off. And I scan, I look around, what is going on? And I couldn't, you know, point to anything at that moment, but I just started paying attention to my energy. And I said, okay, something over here is weird. And I looked on my stereo cabinet, which was very important to me. So I was very aware of it. And I had these little, you know, figurines that I would put along both sides. And I looked over and realized that two of the figurines were in reverse placement from what I always have them as. Even when I dust, you know, I'd move them into the same spot. And I thought, okay, that's really weird. but I'm sure that that's not where they normally are. And I thought, oh, I'll just let it go. It's no big deal. You know, I don't have to worry about that. But I couldn't let it go. So I thought, okay, they're going to think I'm crazy, but I don't know what to do with this. I have to go say something. So I walked back into the room and they could, you know, tell something's up by looking at my face. And my mom had this very strange look on her face as well. And she said, what's up? And I said, well, I know this is weird. And I explained the story. And they all three just busted out laughing. And I'm standing there thinking, okay, great. I'm, you know, the butt of some kind of joke. I don't know. And then they explained that, you know, they'd been talking about how sensitive I was. And my mom had told them, I'll bet you I can move one little thing in her room and she will know. Just, you know, anything, the tiniest little thing. They're like, oh, she would never know that. She goes, I bet you that. What, I don't know what the bet was, but, and, you know, so sure enough, I'd proven my mom's point. So, and that was just about energy, right? Because I didn't walk in the room and immediately see that that was different. I just felt just something that small. So, but anyway, sometimes that has a very, you know, positive aspect if it's, you know, keeping us safe or, you know, somehow helping the situation. And then we tend to be very compassionate and empathetic and conscientious and helpful. And those things tend to be a benefit in relationships and in workplace and any, you know, any interaction at all that tends to be, you know, for the most part, a benefit, as long as we know how to establish boundaries, which is another issue to address, of course. But we do things outside of the box. We see like multiple viewpoints all at once. Or I was just talking with someone yesterday who was explaining how she was finding it frustrating talking with other people when she would say, well, you know, I can see their viewpoint and I can see their viewpoint. And they were wanting her to pick one, you know, like, well, pick a side. She goes, well, but I can see both sides. I can't really say what, you know, what's what. So we tend to be able to, you know, to take all of those things in and consider it from different aspects and everybody's motivations and that kind of thing. So that can be definitely a benefit. And then we tend to be very creative, very, very in tune with nature and art and music and beauty and all of those things. And actually be tend to be moved more by them. Just have a really deep experience, which is definitely one of the things that I would not ever want to give up if I, you know, said, if I had the choice, you know, do you want to keep being highly sensitive or not? It's like, well, yeah, because I would have to miss out on that. And there are plenty of things, you know, throughout life when I've explained something to someone and they're like, oh yeah, that seems kind of neat. And I'm thinking, really? There's amazing. And I had this great experience and they're kind of like, yeah, it was kind of nice. So I think that's a huge benefit. And then attention to detail, visual acuity. We just really can see things, notice things that other people are not going to notice. And sometimes that can be very, very beneficial. And I mean, there are lots of other benefits, but it does tend to be an amazing thing that makes life just so much more colorful and vibrant, as long as, again, we're able to manage our nervous system and make it all work in our favor. But it's definitely very positive. So just as a fun thing, here are some well-known HSPs, which of course, some of these are no longer living, but most of them are identified as such, either because of their writings, things that they've said in interviews or various things, so that they're, you know, pretty clear that these were likely to be highly sensitive people, even though it wasn't really identified as a trait then. And actually one of my favorites on this list is Alanis Morissette, who actually incorporates her sensitivity into her work. She's a folk artist and is very open, you know, talking about it and expressing what it's like being an artist and having all of these incredibly raw emotions and being able to do something with them. So artists, healers, leaders, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of good benefit from it that tends to serve us well and in the workplace. So self-care, as I mentioned, so important for managing sensitivities and again, calming the nervous system. So for me, I think the most important part of that or the most helpful step in that is either meditation or some kind of mindfulness practice where you're completely detaching from everything and letting your mind go and just focusing on being present and in the moment and not being concerned with anything. And I have found that a daily meditation practice is by far the very best thing that I've ever done. It's actually allowed me to handle more things because my nervous system is calmer and I don't get affected by things nearly as much as I used to. So downtime, we need lots of times to decompress. And sometimes that means, if you're working on something yourself or something that a project that you need to get done and you're kind of on a time frame and it seems like you got to keep going. But really, if you just took a 5 minute or 10 minute break every now and then and just did some breathing or walked outside and touched a tree, we tend to be really connected with nature. Then you can come back and be really focused and be much more productive than just trying to force your way through it all the way till the end. So that downtime. And then if we've been out in a social situation quite often, we're like, okay, I've reached my maximum and now I need to go home and regroup and recharge and have that alone time. So that's another thing that's really important in relationships or in the workplace is, making those needs known. That's like, I'm going to get to a certain point and I'm going to have to recharge. And then I'm going to be really on and, ready to go. And then sleep, which of course, the majority of people, at least in the US, I think, are lacking in sleep, but it's super important for highly sensitives to have that extra, at least 7 to 8 hours on a consistent basis because of that need to recharge and rejuvenate and really calm that nervous system by having really quality sleep. And we can adjust schedules and create boundaries around, how much we can do in a day and what works with, like some days I have an option to do a Zoom meeting where I'm in a network with people and it'll be really fun and I can connect. But if I've already been on some kind of a live situation, Zoom meeting, client meeting, whatever, like 4 or 5 hours, I know that one more is probably going to put me over the edge and I'm going to have to do that another time or find a different way to engage and say, nope, that's my limit. And if I push that, then I'm not going to be in a good place. So recognizing that with my schedules and what I do for each day is very, very helpful. And then again, time in nature, that's always been my go-to, but it turns out that tends to be one of the big keys to calming and being, okay and managing everything is spending time in nature. So that, if it's taking a break, if you can do that in nature, great. If you can't, if you can have pictures of, or, video slideshows, something of nature, if you can't actually get outside or something that you can just really connect with having, plants in your office, plants in your home, it's super important and a nice way to, do that, have that connection with nature. And then, as I mentioned before, boundaries, just being very clear about, what resonates with us, what's okay and not okay, what's going to push us over the edge, and recognizing that, and honoring that, it's sort of like that idea of self-care with, put the oxygen mask on first and then you can help other people. For self-care in general, that's true. And also with the boundaries of, what you're able to tolerate, what resonates with you and doesn't, and setting those limits, you're going to be a much more present person, much more able to help others and do your jobs and do everything correctly. If you have that, the nervous system calm, if you have the time to regroup and you set those boundaries. Every time I let someone in, it takes me off my screen. There we go. So if we're talking about the workplace, or you could say, school or any type of social engaged situation, we can, run into issues with overstimulation. So if you work, like actually, anytime I watch a movie and there's an open office situation where they're like maybe the little walls, but they're all open and everyone can see what they're doing and all of that, I immediately just tense up. I've never had to work in a situation like that, thankfully, but just the idea of what that would be like is like, oh, that's just, I can feel it in my gut and my chest and just, it's like, wow, that would just be so intense. So that can be definitely a challenge with all kinds of noise and activity and things going on constantly. It can be, going constantly and having to, have a deadline and not being able to stop and take breaks or to have that regroup time, even if it's like 5 minutes for a breathing exercise or to visualize being in your, you know, perfect happy place, looking at some pictures of nature, whatever, and then going back to your project. And a lot of times, if we do have these deadlines and it's not quite enough time for the processing that the way that we like to do it, it can be very stressful if it's just like, okay, I've got to do this, but I'm not really processing it. And I don't know that it's going to be perfect or the, you know, the way that we really want it to be because we haven't had quite enough time. So that can be a challenge. And then, you know, as I mentioned, the perfection thing, which there really is no perfect, but we do tend to try to achieve that. And that can be challenging in a situation with a lot of things that we can't control. But also if we're feeling like we're, you know, pushed a little too fast or to the limits and it's too noisy, it can be, you know, challenging for that. We do tend to compare ourselves with others a lot. And so if there's comparison of that at work or in that other situation, that'll increase that even more. And then, you know, since we pick up on all this energy all the time when we're in group situations, if there's some kind of, you know, disagreement among other, like other employees or other friends or something like that, then we tend to pick up on that energy, and that can be really challenging for us. So that can, you know, if there's a way to minimize all of that in the workplace or in your social setting or whatever, it's definitely more helpful. And then, well, yeah, feeling undervalued would definitely be something to address in the workplace. That would be challenging, but that's pretty much, you know, across the board with anything. So if you, let's say you are a small business owner and you have some employees, or that you are a solopreneur and you're wondering if you are highly sensitive yourself, or you have a friend that, you know, you always like to do things together, but anytime you get together in a group, well, let's go do this with, you know, four people or whatever, and you're going to the restaurant and they just opt out and you don't know why, you know, recognizing these sensitivities, these traits, can be helpful. So usually it's people who tend to feel seemingly overwhelmed a lot or all the time, like always stressed, always reacting to things that maybe other people are just able to just ignore. They might be really distracted, and especially by noises or a lot of activity going on, like the open format for the office space idea. Might be really frustrated by other people and by all the little petty things that happen, you know, within the office or within social groups. And as a result of that, or because of just the overall overwhelm, maybe they avoid the socializing and it can be seen as antisocial. But if you really, you know, talk with them about it, it might not necessarily be that, just that it's an overwhelming situation. And then sometimes, you know, HSPs tend to be those who, you know, everyone seems to just go to when they need something or a little support or, you know, what do you think about this? Or they just kind of know that they are going to know what they need. Those tend to be highly sensitive because we really pick up on that energy and we just kind of have that sense of knowing. And then we're compassionate at how to, you know, discuss that with someone or how to bring that up. And then we all, you know, tend to also be those that are very detail oriented. They might be kind of troubled by either not being able to, you know, complete something or have enough time to complete something, or it's not done, you know, to the best of their ability or someone else's, and that might be, you know, a trigger for them. So those are kind of some of the basics of how to recognize that in someone else. So ultimately then, in order to support highly sensitives, it's really helpful to validate, you know, first of all, to have a discussion. So if you're recognizing it and possibly in somebody else, going to them and saying, hey, can we have a conversation? I'm noticing some of these things. You know, I'm just learning about this thing called high sensitivity. What do you think? Or if they've come to you and said, you know, I'm having these issues in the office or in this other situation, and I it's not working for me. I need to make some changes. You know, if you're aware that, oh, okay, maybe this is a sensitivity thing, and then you can have that conversation and ask more about what their experience is. So if you're just asking all kinds of questions, and if there's something that you would like to try, or that is something is going on, if you ask for, you know, their specific feedback, and what would work for them. So you say, okay, well, I see this is a challenging situation for you. This is what everybody else is doing and seems okay. How, you know, how can we shift that so that it'll be okay for you as well? So just, you know, asking a lot of questions, and just through that, you know, you're validating that, you know, they're not just being irritating or, you know, unreasonable, but they have these needs to, so that they can feel supported and be the best that they can be, because then they can really thrive. Scheduling breaks, allowing for that time, you know, even though if it's a really busy situation, if it's made known that it's okay to take your 5 minutes or to even make sure, a lot of times these days, I think people just, they skip their, you know, 10 minute breaks or whatever. They eat, they work all the way through lunch, you know, eating at their desk or whatever. And that's really not helpful for highly sensitive. So as an employer or as a coworker or a friend or, you know, whatever the relationship is, helping them to, you can say, hey, you know, it's really good for you to take your breaks. It's okay for you to take that whole hour and go, you know, go walk in nature or something, and make sure that they're aware that even though there's all of these expectations, it's good to have that break time. And then again, and I don't know that you can necessarily do anything with a whole open office forum or, you know, certain situations, there's just not a whole lot you can do about it. But in those cases, you know, maybe it's okay to allow folks to have earbuds and listen to calming music or meditations or something while they're working, or have them be able to sit at the very edge of everything closest to the door that they can just step outside, you know, when they need to or something. So if there's some way to create the environment that is more supportive, that can be very helpful. And then within those, even if it's a little cubicle, if it's shared, if it's not, especially if there's a way that people can have kind of their own personal items, so they can have pictures or a slideshow of nature, they can have a plant, they can have something that connects them to somebody else, you know, whether it's photos or, you know, some kind of a little, I don't know, figurine or statue or something that they can connect with, or something to actually kind of bring them back to that mindfulness place of like, okay, here I am. I've got these great, you know, these things that help me feel better and supported, then that can be helpful. And then I just wanted to throw this in that, you know, it's important to support everyone, and to have the understanding for highly sensitive is great. And you can help them just by validating and asking, all these questions and creating things. But it's not necessarily that we want to be treated any differently or, you know, specially, or have all these needs that are so challenging, but just acknowledging that, you know, just like everybody else, we're just people and we all have different needs. And so not to like single them out necessarily. So why would we want to spend all this energy to take care of highly sensitive needs? And again, because there's so many different benefits, if a highly sensitive person is really supported and valued, they can thrive and be an amazing addition to, you know, whatever it is, because then they can let those sensitivities, those the increased awareness, the compassion, all those things really shine. And that's ultimately good for business. It's good for social groups, for friendships, you know, for everything. So it tends to be that those folks are going to not miss things. They're going to be able to point out, oh, you know what, I don't think that's going to work because I just noticed this. And other people might just not be aware of that while they're doing, you know, have their own focus. And it can improve morale and the overall work environment, the office politics, all of that kind of stuff, if they're feeling supported and they feel like they can say something to others or to actually offer suggestions and that kind of thing, then it can definitely be a bonus for the environment. And they'll tend to come up with creative, you know, new solutions, ways of thinking out of the box and trying things that haven't been tried, and continuing that until there's a I don't know how it does that when it's on silent. Enhanced efficiency. I mean, usually things will go, you know, quite smoothly if HSPs are involved and able to do what they need to do to let those things go, because they're just so focused on the detail and taking care of stuff. And then ultimately that of course would help for, you know, not just the morale, but the actual reputation of the company, or if it's a social gathering or something like that, then the, you know, the whole group can feel more cohesive. So there's a lot of reasons that it's worth spending maybe that extra little bit of time to try to support those who are highly sensitive and maybe feeling overwhelmed, or just feeling like they're not really fitting in or getting what they need to really thrive. So that is my presentation. I do want to note, I'm going to do a second slide here in just a moment, but I'm going to put something in the chat as well. Although I don't know that that will carry through for anyone who's watching this later, but if you do go to my link tree, which is at the bottom here, all of my links, all of my social media, my website, I mean, all of that kind of stuff is on Linktree. And I do have a free guide, which is communicating with non-HSPs. So that would be on there. And I have a blog that has all kinds of additions to anything related to HSPs or things that would be helpful for highly sensitives. And those are all in there. I have a meetup group. I have a Facebook group. Lots of stuff, meditations and tapping and such on my YouTube channel. So there's all kinds of different resources out there for people. And I'm more than happy to connect with folks who are employers or in a situation where they just want more information about how to work with HSPs, or they think, you know, I think I know someone who is, but I don't know how to approach them or anything like that. You know, certainly just reach out, totally open to that. And I'll put this in the chat. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And so, and I've actually talked recently with what I would say a high functioning someone on the spectrum, and she gave me all kinds of really interesting insights. And we talked about that because there are definitely some, you know, high sensitivity component, you know, to autism, and things that, you know, like overwhelm and things that they're not able to cope with as well. The processing is different, and the viewpoint is different quite often, or the level of understanding, or you know, like social interactions are perceived differently, of course. But they do tend to be in that reactive mode of super high sensitivity at times. So understanding high sensitivity in general can help, I think, understanding folks that way too. And what was the other one you said besides? Oh, empaths. So for me, the way I understand it is, for me, empaths would be in some ways super highly sensitive, right? I mean, they, on the energetic level, they can pick up all of these things, and even to the point where usually they're feeling it as if it's their own. So it's like, I can feel your pain literally. Like, oh, your shoulder must be hurting because I'm talking with you and mine is screaming right now. You know, I mean, that's the most obvious direct example. And so I would say, I mean, there's a high sensitivity there, but not all empaths would necessarily be highly sensitive in terms of, you know, having a hard time with extraneous noises or with, you know, textures or, I mean, there might be things that, you know, for the most part, it's like, oh yeah, I know, I kind of go along my life and I'm super hyper aware of everything, but not necessarily, you know, the same level on so many different factors as a highly sensitive. But yeah, I mean, there's definite, you know, huge overlap. Some people actually will talk about it as, you know, empaths are probably the ones that are pegged on the highly sensitive scale. And I think some of them absolutely are, but I do know some empaths that would never have a problem with things that bug me all the time, or, you know, I'm there or something, and they're like, oh, I hadn't noticed that. unless they wanted to tune into it, and then, I mean, they definitely would, or unless it was like an energetic piece, and then there'd be like, you know, probably picking up on stuff that I'm not even aware of, but yeah, so there's definitely huge overlap, and the same, you know, kind of principles, I guess, would help with, you know, across the board on the calming the nervous system, being in a place that you know, take care of yourself as much as possible, get good sleep, all of that kind of stuff, so that you have more to work with. That would help across the board on all of those. Learning how to communicate what your experience is to someone who doesn't get it, so that you can come to, you know, a middle ground, for sure. Yeah, a lot of similarities. I was just realizing there's all these messages in here for the chat.